You're listening to International Women's Day Environment Matters Special here on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM with me, Amanda Yorworth, and I'm with you until 8 o'clock this evening. Coming up later, malnutrition and maggots. Yuck. Rothamsted scientist Daria Doberman talks about the good, the bad and the bugly. Now, sanitary towels, tampons, periods, go on, I've said them all now, words you don't often hear on Radio Verulam or indeed in the media generally. The Women's Environment Network thinks that we should change that, and they've launched a project called Environmental, and they've launched the project here in St Albans. I spoke to Ruby Rout of the Women's Environment Network to find out more. Ruby, thank you very much for joining me. Now, as I alluded to in my introduction, women's sanitary products and I suppose menstruation in general doesn't get a lot of coverage. Is this a problem, the fact that we don't talk about this?
I think it is. The fact that when I was first time asked, like, what does menstruation word rings a bell in your head? The answer that came into my mind was like pain. It is a physical pain. It is a social pain. It is emotional pain. I mean, you're going through that emotional moment of almost being like a teenager, hormonal change every month.
Yes.
For 40 years, average 40 years of your life.
Yes.
And now being an environmentalist, it's an environmental pain too.
Yes.
With so much of waste that we are producing every month, being a woman, and those waste are ending up in a landfill. So it is a huge problem.
Yeah. Okay. And I suppose we should talk about this more. Why don't we talk about it? It is only natural, isn't it?
It is actually a normal process that every woman goes through.
Yeah.
So I don't think there should be any barrier for people to speak about menstruation.
Yes, that's right. And I suppose whilst we don't talk about menstruation, it's more likely to lead to behaviour caused through that embarrassment, like, for instance, feeling the need to flush sanitary products down the toilet and things that perhaps, as I say, are a cause of embarrassment, and the fact that we don't feel we're able to be open about this perfectly natural thing.
It almost feels like a hidden topic, you know?
Yes.
Like, nobody dares to come out and speak about it.
Yeah.
And yes, I think that creates this a barrier, almost like the information going from one generation to the next generation.
Yes, yes, yes. Or as you say, or women learning about alternatives to sanitary products, or just talking in general tends to help, doesn't it?
So, yeah.
Anyway, so you've started talking there about environmental problems with sanitary products. What are the environmental problems? Perhaps if we start off with what they're made from.
So most of the sanitary products are made out of cotton, one or the other form of cotton, and most of the other bits is plastics.
Right.
So cotton is a very big problem. Most, I think, 40% of the pesticides used in US in the cotton production are in the cotton production. So there is like a huge amount of pesticides and herbicide used.
Right.
So what happens with the pesticides and herbicide used in the cotton is when they leach into your body, it almost creates like an endocrine disruptor hormones.
Right. Okay. So there's the problems with the as you say, cotton needs a lot of pesticides in its production, and there might also be issues about absorption by you, health problems.
Yes.
And then obviously plastics come from oil, don't they?
Yes,
not a sustainable source.
No.
Okay. And how about the sort of production processes for the cotton?
So the cotton doesn't have a natural white and cleanliness color. So what usually company do is they try to bleach it with a chemical called dioxin. And then what happens is these dioxins are quite carcinogenic and quite harmful for your health.
Well,
so when you're using a tampon that is like bleached white and you are inserting inside yourself.
Yes.
And vagina is almost like a very sensitive area, you know, very thin layer of skin around the in our body. And there is a chances of it leaching through our body itself.
Okay. And as you say, it's, again, an environmentally damaging process. It is strange, isn't it, that we tend to think of pure white as being very clean and very pure, but actually the unbleached product is probably the safer one. And then, of course, we come on to the final problem with sanitary products, and that's how we dispose of them. I mean, how do we dispose of them? Where do they end up?
So most of the tampons and pads that you use do end up either as in an incinerator or in the landfill. And that when they go in the landfill, sometimes they leach, or if there's a heavy rain, then they flow down to the water sources and all this kind of thing. Sometimes, well, actually, not sometimes, BuzzFeed did a survey and found out that 45% of women still flush the tampon in the toilet.
Right, okay.
Which blocks the sewage system. And yes. It's quite a big problem, very expensive ones.
Yes, and also there was a really quite unpleasant statistic about sanitary products ending up on beaches as well.
Yes, I think that UK Clean Beach did a survey, well, the whole research study, and found quite a lot of tampons, applicator and sanitary pads.
Yes, it's all the plastic bits, isn't it?
Yes.
The applicators, the little plastic backings, all this sort of thing.
Quite light thing that can blow away by wind or...
Well, and also I assume that they can get through the sewage process because they don't degrade, do they?
It's causing
problems nevertheless, as you say, blockages to drains, ending up on beaches, in rivers. And actually, we know, we've learned a lot recently about the negative effects on plastic in oceans generally. So, yeah, not good stuff there. OK, so how big is the problem?
So every year, 20 million tampons and pads are taken to the landfill. So it is a big problem. Incineration. Just in this country, in UK.
Right.
But with the developing country practicing the same practice that we are doing in the Western world over here,
yeah,
this problem could be quite huge.
Yes, I suppose that's right. In this country, at least we do have the facilities for the correct
waste
disposable.
Yes.
But in developing countries, if they take up the same habits as us, this could cause big problems, couldn't it?
Yes.
Okay. So it is a big problem and possibly due to get bigger. Are there non-disposable options?
Plenty. And it has, well, there is a menstrual cup which was out in 1930.
Wow. That's been around for a while, hasn't
yes.
it?
Yes. Yeah. But just because there's not much of awareness about, I think, how to use it and what the whole product is about.
Doesn't it come back to this embarrassment thing again?
Yes.
We don't really want to talk about it.
I think it seems
a bit, a bit squeamish.
Yes. And then since the Ultra and Always launched the whole disposable sanitary product, nobody wants to see the blood everywhere. So I think nobody got into habit of using reusable. But now, since it's being a very big environmental problem, we'll have to start going back and then try using some reusable menstrual products.
Okay. So there's menstrual cups. This is like a little rubber cup, which, collects
silicon cup, yes.
That's right. And then there's also, how about alternatives to pads? Do we have?
So, yes, there are some reusable pads. I grew up in Nepal using reusable pads all my earlyhood. And yes, they are coming back. Well, you get like all kind of different lengths and sizes and stuff.
Yeah.
And they have like a fastened button so that it doesn't move that often.
Okay.
The other things, if you want to still care about the environment, then you can go to the organic tampons and
cotton, which are
sanitary pads, which are less harmful for your body as well.
They're halfway house, aren't they?
Yes.
Still got the disposal problems and obviously still using resources to make them each time as well. But perhaps
could be used as like a transition, from
yeah,
going from.
Yeah. Okay, that's good. And are the I'm just thinking about the non-disposable options. Are they safe? I mean, you have to reuse them. So do you have problems with bacterial buildup or anything like that?
No. As far as you are clean and you look after yourself, I think they're perfectly fine. Okay. For the menstrual cup, what you can do is it's almost like, when the babies have got this bottle.
Yes, you sterilise them.
Yes, you sterilise them. You do exactly the same thing.
I suppose.
And for the pads, what you can do is you just wash it with the hot water. And before you use it, I always suggest you to iron it. So that's just to be... make sure that you are.
Yeah, I presume all these things come with instructions so that you can use them in a perfectly clean sort of way.
Yes.
Okay. I have to be said that when I was researching this, I had a quick look just on a few chat rooms and websites and things. And to be quite honest, the main thing that people said, it tended to come in the form of, has anybody tried this? Has anybody tried, Moon Cup or something like that? And then there'd just be a whole string of things going, hey, yes, I've tried it. Oh, yeah, I've just tried it. And the main thing people seemed to say was, I wish I'd tried this earlier. I wish I'd tried it before. So, I, you know, just learning from that, it seemed, yeah, that we should actually just be going and giving these things available in on the internet or in Boots.
Yes, yes.
Not hard to get hold of.
No, no, it's not. And the plus side to it, it's quite economical.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you're spending like every month £3, £4 each, right, on your menstrual product.
That's right. So perhaps a little healthier, definitely a lot better for the environment and hopefully saving you a bit of money as well.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Okay, now you're a member of the Women's Environment Network who have an environmental campaign, which you've just done a session in St Albans at Samuel Ryder Academy. What are the workshops about? How did it go?
So our workshop is tailored to do at least reach three main aims. What we've got, we want to start talking about periods. That's everywhere, not just to the schools, but to the community groups and everybody.
Yeah.
We want to give more information on the reusable side of the menstrual product.
Yes.
And third is we want every woman to campaign with us on this project.
Yeah.
The first pilot project in Samuel Ryder was absolutely great. I mean, we reached over there and there was a queue of all the girls waiting to go into the room. Yeah. They were quite excited about the whole the project.
Yes.
So it was really good. The girls were very interactive. I was very surprised. Like, I thought that they'd be like all closed off and all this kind of thing.
Right.
But as we laid all the reusable menstrual product, they didn't hesitate to go and touch it and play with it.
Yeah.
So it was cool. Yeah.
So they weren't embarrassed on taking it?
No, they were not. In fact, some of the girls, they were like, when they saw the menstrual cup, they were quite intrigued by it. And they were like, can you show me how to use it? I was like, well, I can certainly display about it. But then, no, I didn't mean to say that way. They go like that. But yeah. Yes, we had a good laugh about it.
Okay. That sounds great. It sounds like a relaxed discussion and something that the girls felt they could relate to. And it sounds like they found it pretty useful as well.
Yes, yes. Later when we did a little interview and then when we asked, like, what would you transit to? So
yeah.
Most of the girls said, like, they wouldn't be hesitant to try the cloth pad because that is the next. That is something that they have used. If they are using a pad,
yes.
It's the same thing. It's only the issue of washing by yourself.
Yeah, as you say, we've got washing machines now. It's really not a big issue.
No.
It shouldn't be, at least. Okay, that sounds really good. Now, as you said, you grew up in Nepal, and you just started talking a little bit about the issues and how they're different in parts of the developing world. So tell us a little bit more about the situation in Nepal.
So, yes, the whole menstruation issue is completely different in two different countries, I guess. The way I grew up was during your first period, you are not allowed to stay at your home. So you are sent to either your neighbor's house or there is a system, the whole process called chopadi, where a woman is sent to a cow shed or something during her menstruation. And many girls have lost their lives.
Oh.
By sleeping, yes, in the cow shed. Because there is a high chances of being raped. There is a high chances of snake bites and animal bites.
Yeah.
So, yes, and sometimes they want to...
And does this kind of attitude persist, or is this something that's gradually being broken down?
It does. Surprisingly, it does. I mean, the last incident was last December 2016.
Right.
16, yeah.
Okay. Now, You've said that you're launching a project to try and help women in Nepal. And what do you have planned for there?
So currently I'm volunteering with NERF, Nepal Earthquake Recovery Fund. And one of the project is the environmental. But I think we will be going towards more menstrual hygiene management.
Yeah.
And try to break that taboo.
Yeah.
And talk more about periods and say that it's normal to have periods and... Yeah, breaking just that culture barrier that they have been practicing, which is absolutely not accepting.
Okay.
You know?
And so are you just raising money for this? Are you actually going out there and talking yourself, or are there other people there who are doing this work?
So we are raising money so that it'll give us some fund to buy some moon cup or menstrual cup that we can go and give it to the women's around there.
Right.
People still do use rags and old clothes, which are a bit unhygienic, I guess.
Right.
And what we want to do is we want to go there and give a workshop about the menstrual hygiene management.
Yeah.
And plus give away some of the reusable menstrual cups or train them with the Right. How to make the reusable pads.
Okay. And as you say, you have the connections here, well, both yourself, but also through the Nepal Earthquake Relief Fund as well. Okay. Excellent. So that's really all about information to try and break down some of the taboos, and also, as you say, about trying to raise a bit of money so that you can supply them with sustainable options as well. Okay, so that was really good. So if we're just thinking, just to finish off with, so coming out of this, what can we do? So we've got the environmental project here in this country.
Yes.
Are you able to take that to workshops, that would take that workshop to other places around St. Albans?
Yes. So the part of the environmental project is to reach out as much as school, institution, community groups, and almost form like this whole community where people can come freely talk about periods anytime.
Okay. So should we get in touch with you about that, or do we get in touch with the Women's Environmental Forum?
If you go directly to the Women's Environmental Network, there's always somebody to help.
Right.
I'm conducting the workshop along with another friend of mine called Natasha.
Right.
And what we do is we prepare all the material and go to the schools and do the workshop. Yes, if there are like a organize, and if they want to give away some of the samples, like reusable cups and stuff, we are ready to take that.
Okay. And then also you're looking for donations for your Nepal project as well.
Yes. So Nepal Earthquake Recovery Fund, if you go to their website, there is a button that you can use to donate it.
Lovely.
Yes, get in touch with us.
Okay. Well, we look forward to hearing how your project goes. Thank you very much indeed for coming and talking about something that we don't often get to talk about. And good luck with the future. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
There I was talking to Ruby Rout, and all the information that she was talking about and from the rest of today's show can be found on rvenvironmentmatters.wordpress.com or on the environment pages of the Radio Verulam website. You're listening to International Women's Day Environment Matters special here on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM with me, Amanda Yorth. Still to come, Rothamsted research scientist Daria Doberman on how edible bugs can help women.